Hi, I'm Leah Canland with my husband Steve, and you're listening to Our Insightful Adventures, a show that chronicles our travels around Australia and the savvy, scientific, and scenic things we experience along the way.
So today on the podcast, we're talking about our time in Queensland. So from the border from New South Wales, we went from there to Brisbane and explored around Brisbane a little bit, went to a couple of national parks, the Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast, went to Stradbroke Island, which is a cool little island off of Brisbane, and then made our way up to Eamundi Markets, Noosa Heads, and Airlie Beach. We went to the Great Barrier Reef. And then we started the long trek all the way back to Perth. So we doubled back, and so we traveled 3,325 kilometers, or about 2,000 miles, and spent 14 days in Queensland. So the first big thing that we did really was go to Brisbane. And Brisbane, one thing I didn't know about Brisbane is that it has no like beaches. It's all mangroves.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I thought it was pretty interesting. We were staying at a friend of a friend's, and they suggested that we go to Stradbroke Island because there were white sandy beaches. And we were thinking, well, aren't there white sandy beaches in Brisbane? But really, Brisbane is situated up a river. And at the mouth of the river, it's just pretty much mangrove, mangrove, mangrove. And you have to drive north to Sunshine Coast or south to the Gold Coast to hit a beach or hop to the island of Stradbroke.
Yeah, which I just didn't know at all about Brisbane. And so I don't know if this is in consequence because there are no beaches really close to Brisbane. Brisbane has made up their own little beach in the middle of downtown.
Yeah, yeah. So they have a cool part of downtown, which we were able to explore via the river that connects a lot of different stops along the way.
Yeah, and so Brisbane has a cool public transport system, ferry system on the river that kind of just operates just like a bus system would. And it's a cool way to experience and explore Brisbane because you kind of go up and down the river.
Yeah, it kind of gives this like really cool, chill vibe of Brisbane. And what Steve is talking about is the South Bank Beach. That is, Queensland's only inner city beach, man-made beach.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. It was kind of weird because it was this man-made beach and people lounging around right outside of downtown. But on the other side, it is kind of cool that, like, I don't know how they came about creating it, but they created this kind of area for people to kind of go and relax out of downtown. So I don't know if that like helps with like their overall stress or anxiety levels that they created this kind of lounging, relaxing area, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought it was cool. But really that was about all we did in Brisbane was lazily go up and down the river and hop on and off and check out the inner city beach, because the next day we decided to go to the Tambourine National Park and look at Cedar Creek Falls.
Yeah, and it was this cool river that kind of had several drops into pools that you could swim in. And we swam in, there's I think three separate pools that you could swim in. There's more than three pools, but you were only allowed to swim in three of them. And we went down and kind of swam around. There were some kids that were jumping off these super high cliffs. Like, it was crazy what they're jumping off of. But the general whole thing was cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun to do. I feel like the people have to get creative as to where to swim. And there's just a lot of cool waterfalls and natural rock pools. And, I had a good time. It was actually pretty crowded.
It was kind of crowded.
Yeah, but still really cool to do. And that sort of wrapped up that day and, like I said, hanging around Brisbane, because the next day we took a ferry and spent the entire day at Stradbroke Island. And technically it was North Stradbroke Island. There is a South Stradbroke Island, or as it's also known as, Straddy.
And that was a cool little island. We went to did this really cool walk around the beach, a couple of beaches, just a really pretty boardwalk that was easy and
It's called the North Gorge Walk, and it's at a part of the island called Point Lookout.
Yeah, and so that was a pretty just kind of walk to kind of look at some of the beaches, and then we went to some of the beaches, but you couldn't get in the water, at least what we're at, for because there were blue bottles or Portuguese man of war that were coming into shore, and there it's essentially a jellyfish that I haven't been stung from it, luckily, but apparently it hurts really bad for like a half hour.
Yeah, and not just that, it's also, I guess, Iriganji season too, which is even more dangerous than a kind of... Well, I mean, it's hard because Portuguese men or blue bottles are not technically jellyfish, but I don't know what to call them except for kind of jellyfish or essentially jellyfish. But Iriganji are like real, true jellyfish, and they're just kind of call them stingers. And they're also, and it's like Iriganji season when we went as well. So had we taken that more seriously, we probably would have hesitated from getting in the water for that reason too.
Yeah. So we didn't really get in the water. At least that part. We did go to another part of the island where it was kind of, at several places around Australia, they kind of have this net area where they, so for swimmers, they kind of have this net area to kind of protect you. And we did get into the water there, and we were fine, luckily.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was really just a lazy day on the island. We walked around on that beautiful gorge walk, and then we laid out and we had yummy seafood, but yeah, pretty much just a really nice island beach day.
Yeah, which was quite nice because we hadn't had a good beach day in a while.
Yeah. And then the next big adventure that we did was go up to Condalina Falls National Park. There were a lot of things that we had to skip along the way going north into Queensland, and we settled on Condalina Falls. However, when we walked again to this area that had these rock pools and a little waterfall, the major Condalina Falls was dried up. There wasn't. We walked to the lookout, and there was no waterfall at the lookout.
And ironically, the name implies rushing water in the local Aboriginal language.
Yeah,
but
there was nothing.
No rushing water.
No, so that was a really quick trip. We just did a quick hike, and we're like, well, never mind. And instead we went, just continued our way further up north into essentially Noosa Heads, close to that area.
And so the cool thing that we did kind of around Noosa Heads is the Imundi Market, which was so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think Lee and I both agree it is hands down the best market that we've not only been to in Australia, but been to ever.
Yeah, like it's basically a farmer's market, craft market, local fun time, good things market. And it was, what I loved about the Imundi markets is that each individual stall, which I've saw that the stalls range from, you know, 300 to 500 different stalls. But what's cool is that you can tell that each stall owner is an artist that's creating something unique. You know, we've gone to other markets like the Salamanca markets in Hobart, which I had high expectations for. But they were selling stuff that I'd seen other places, or they were just reselling products of somebody else. But there was so many awesome things there that were like these original ideas I hadn't seen before.
Yeah. So we've been to a lot of markets, like Leah said, not just in Australia, but in the States as well. And we didn't even visit all the stalls in this market. It was that big. And there were so many cool things. My favorite thing and this is the one of those times where I wish we just had unlimited money. This guy had made 3-string guitars out of a lot of cool things, but my favorite is that he made one out of a Cuban cigar box. So he made these 3-string slide guitars, essentially, and they were handmade, and the one from the Cuban cigar box was just so awesome. And all his other guitars were just so cool.
They were electric guitars. You plugged it into an amp and got to fiddle around with it.
Yeah, it was so cool. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was very awesome. One of my favorite things was a lady that just went around collecting all of the nuts and seeds from local Australian plants, and she would make these crafts out of them. Like, so she would make these mobiles out of, like, the seeds in Australia are so cool and so unique, and just like little hanging designs out of Australian seeds and cones. I loved it. I love that one.
Yeah, just so many cool things. Just everyone there. There was a guy that made cutting boards that had cutting boards that he had a bowl of, and the bowl that he attached to his cutting boards was made from a woman, like a couple stalls down.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Awesome market.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, the Yamundi markets are the best markets in the world.
Agreed.
Yeah. But that was only the first half of the day, because the second half of the day we did go to the beach at Noosa Heads, which is just kind of like hoity-toity, what you would think a SoCal rich beach is like.
Yes, like super high class. We parked right behind like an awesome Ferrari that is just worth tons of money, and just all the stores there were designer. Like, this town is your hoity-toity like beach town.
Yeah, so we fit right in.
Yes, with all our sweaty clothes and sleeping in our car.
Yeah, but the beach was fine. Again, you know, we heard Noosa Heads, the beach was so hyped up, and at this point we sort of know, like, oh, it's a popular beach that people have heard of, we probably won't like it.
Which was true, but it was good to kind of lay out and whatever.
But. Yeah, but what I enjoyed probably more than laying out on the beach was the coastal walk that we did at the Noosa National Park, which is pretty much just attached to the Noosa Beach itself. And it's a pretty long coastal track that takes you along high cliffs and pebbly, bouldery beaches with tons of surfers at every beach. And yeah, we just sort of walked around and enjoyed the pretty scenery.
Yeah, it was pretty and nice to do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then kind of from there, we pretty much just booked it all the way up to Airlie Beach. So our last thing pretty much on our trip to do was to do the Great Barrier Reef. And there's several different points off of Australia that you can do the Great Barrier Reef off of, because the Great Barrier Reef is just so long. So we cruised up to Airlie Beach, took a day, 2 days to get there, and we just kind of went to town and went to some of the tourist booking agents and just tried to see what was available. And we booked ourselves a 2-night, 3-day sailing boat cruise to the Great Barrier Reef / Whitsundays, which are a group of islands on the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah. And that's where it sort of gets technical, because the Great Barrier Reef, when people think of the Great Barrier Reef, they're typically thinking of the outer reef, because a barrier reef implies that it is further offshore. A fringing reef is a reef that you can just get to directly from the beach. It grows from shore seaward, and there's not any type of lagoon. And so the technical marine biologist in me has to at least point out and comes to terms with the fact that we technically went to fringing reefs of the Whitsunday Islands that are in the Ningaloo Marine... In the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. But we didn't go to the outer reef of the Great Barrier Reef. We just technically went to a fringing reef that's in the border of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. So we did go to the Great Barrier Reef, but with all those caveats.
Well, so like the rest of the world that aren't marine biologists, we went to the Great Barrier Reef. Because no one knows all those caveats or the differences between reefs, nor did most people care. So we went to the Great Barrier Reef, and it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and what's cool about going to the Whitsundays is that, or just going to the Great Barrier Reef around the islands, as opposed to going further up into Cairns and having a boat all the way out to the outer islands, is that, one, you get more sea turtles, because sea turtles, many of them feed on seagrass, and seagrass is found more in those coastal waters of islands, and two, the beaches or the snorkeling can be a little bit more calm because you can find those bays that are sheltered as opposed to being in the open ocean. And three, I guess, you actually have the opportunity to be on a beach. So like if you were to go to the Great Barrier Reef in Cairns, if you were exhausted from a snorkel, you would have to get back on the boat because you wouldn't be around any islands. And that's not really true. I mean, there's islands out there too, but if you do a Great Barrier Reef tour from Airlie Beach in the Whitsunday Islands, then there's always that landmass that you can go to or the boat that you can swim to. So those are some perks of doing it the way that we did it.
Yeah. And along with those perks, the way we did it, we're on a boat for 2 nights, 3 days. So we actually got to spend some really awesome time out there rather than just, you know, from Cairns, getting on a boat, cruising for a couple hours, snorkeling, and then cruising back. We actually got to spend like a couple nights out there on the water, which was just awesome as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so happy with the boat that we went out on the summertime. I would recommend it completely. Not only did we do lots of snorkeling, but they had kayaks, so we did sea kayaking, although the weather was so awful the last day.
It just rained and rained on us.
I mean, it was technically scheduled to rain all 3 days we were out, and luckily it only rained the last day when we were kayaking, which ultimately is fine. But yeah, that's cool about the summertime as well.
Anyways, it was just so pretty. The water out there, I just love the water out there. The water was just so blue. And the reason it's so blue is the sand out there is so fine and so white that it obviously is mixed in the water. And so the sunlight gets refracted off the sand particles that are in the water, and the water everywhere, shallow to deep, was just this gorgeous, gorgeous turquoise blue.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
And then we saw a lot of snorkeling. We did a lot of snorkeling. And probably my favorite thing that we saw snorkeling, we unfortunately didn't see any sea turtles, but we did see a ton of fish. My favorite thing that we saw were these giant clams, and they were everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And they're so gorgeous. The colors and the size, giant clams. Yeah, they're kind of one of those things that you like to see. It's almost like nudibranchs, how people go and they either dive or snorkel and try to see all the different kinds of nudibranchs. But with clams, like, I don't know all the different species of giant clams, but there's so many different variations of the colors that are cool to sort of see.
Yeah, and actually there's no two clams that are alike in color or configuration, so it's really hard to tell the difference between what species of clam it is, because you can't tell it by its color.
Really? What determines the color,
though? I don't know what determines the color, but so clams are carnivorous. They eat like small plankton that float by, but they have this relationship with billions of algae that kind of live within its tissue, and it kind of feeds off not the algae, but the byproduct that the algae makes. So the algae gets fed by photosynthesis, and the byproduct that it makes is this other type of protein that the giant clam eats. And if you've ever seen pictures of giant clams, they have these like little circles, and they can be different colors of circles, and they kind of are quote-unquote their eyes, and then they can kind of sense different movement, or even kind of movement in the water, and they can sense light. And so if there's less light, they'll expand out more to get more light to the algae that's kind of living within it, and they kind of use it to kind of eat the stuff that floats by. And giant clams have kind of wrongly been associated of like eating divers or snorkelers, but that doesn't happen. It's not like this giant Venus flytrap in the water, you know?
Yeah.
But they're kind of funny. It is an animal. It's not a plant. But they attach to coral or reef. And in some cases, it looks like the coral or reef has like this mouth.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this little wavy toothed mouth that's sort of always partially open.
Yeah. Anyways, and they can live up to 100 years old. And they can be from small to ginormous, and they can be all sorts of colors, and they're just really pretty.
Yeah, I agree. Those were really fun to see.
Also, another fun thing about the Whit Sundays is there's a bunch of feral goats on all the islands.
Oh yeah.
And they put these feral goats on the islands in the 1800s to help out with lighthouse staff and shipwrecks. So they kind of put them out there in case of shipwrecks that people could hunt these goats. But now they're like, these feral goats are a super big problem to the ecosystem. They're kind of destroying the habitat on these islands. And so there's a plan now to put dingoes on the island. The dingoes hunt the goats, but they don't want to introduce dingoes on the island, because if the dingoes kill the goats, then the dingoes are a problem. So they put tracking systems on the dingoes. So after a couple of years, they can either kill the goats, and they put a time capsule poison thing in the dingoes. So if they can't find them and kill them after a couple of years, then hopefully they can release this poison in the dingoes that therefore will kill the dingoes after they kill the goats.
Oh my goodness. It reminds me of a very complicated version of if you give a mouse a cookie.
Or that, why did that woman swallow the fly?
Oh yeah, the old woman that swallowed the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Oh man, that's right. Oh boy.
So, yeah, and we actually did end up seeing some goats on the islands, so they actually are there.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Except they're destroying the...
I know.
Anyway, so that's the story of that.
Yeah, yeah. Another cool thing that we did just inland, a little bit south and inland from Airlie Beach, was go to the Platypus Bush Camp, which we really, really enjoyed. It was in the Finch Hatton Gorge, and we stayed there for a night and did our best to find platypuses, which we didn't find, but we did get to go on an amazing bushwalk again with lots of waterfalls and rock pools.
Yeah, and you can swim in these pools. We ended up jumping off the rock, and we saw a couple other people, but pretty much we were the only people there, which is always a bonus for us.
Yeah, yeah. So the walk, there's really only like one walk you can do there, and it's Araluen Cascades and the Wheel of Fire. And they're not long to sort of do the detour to one of the falls and then carry on to the other fall. The walk isn't long, and we would recommend doing both of them.
Yeah, definitely worth it for sure.
Yeah.
And to swim.
Yeah, definitely come prepared with your bathing suit.
And that was pretty much our time in Queensland. And so after we got off the boat from Whit Sundays, we pretty much started our drive back to Perth. So we didn't have a whole lot of time in Queensland. I think we would have definitely always liked to have more time. But unfortunately, We didn't.
No. I feel like Queensland is the state that we probably explored the least of. It was the last state that we had. We are on a very strict time limit, and so we only went as far north as Airlie Beach. And so we didn't get to do anything further up the coast and hardly anything inland. And so when we come back to Australia one day, I'll want to hit up Queensland.
For sure. For sure. But Queensland is beautiful.
Absolutely.
So in the last part of our podcast, we like to share either an insight that we learned or an adventure that wasn't shared earlier.
Yeah, so I have the insight for this episode. And really, I think it's a very important travel tip that Steve and I have figured out along the way in our three-month journey around Australia. What I've noticed that makes the biggest difference for the overall emotional health of
and mental health,
spiritual, yes, all of the ways to be healthy. What does the trick for us whenever we're starting to get in a rut or get really short, frustrated with each other, is to find a third party and hang out with them.
Yeah, if we can find somebody, like if we go to a dinner with somebody or hanging out with somebody, that really helps break the tension between us and helps us get kind of out of our grumpy selves. And yeah, it just helps a lot.
Yeah, and we were able to experience very warm hospitality from people of Queensland, from friends of friends, again, really vague connections, but now, stronger friendships now. And it made all the difference in the world for our overall experience in Queensland, was to have people outside of the two of us be nice to us, engage us in conversations. And it just put us in a great mood again.
Yeah, it definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, showers and conversations with other people. Two key components to having a great time while traveling for extended periods of time.
Yes. So I'll share the venture today. And when we were camping at Fitch Hatton Gorge, we were staying at this camp spot. And one of the nights we were trying to look for platypuses, we just saw all these giant fruit bats come out. And in Queensland, they call them the flying foxes.
I don't know if they were fruit bats.
I looked it up. They were fruit bats.
Oh!
Fruit bats are the largest bat.
Oh, there you go. Throwing out more facts for us.
The carnivorous vampire bat is actually one of the smallest bats in the world.
Oh.
And feeds on pigs and livestock. Anyways, these bats were giant, enormously big fruit bats. And they just like blackened the sky, and they were swooping down really close to us. And they just, I've been to caves and seen bats come out of caves, but I don't think I've seen bats this big before.
Yeah, Steve did not believe me, because obviously it's getting dark. The platypuses, they're nocturnal. And so we were going there at dusk, and that sort of overlapped with the time that the bats were coming out. And so as the light got dimmer, it was harder for us to see. And so we just sort of heard splashes in the pool that we were standing in front of, and sort of these like these shapes whizzing by. And I was like, oh, Steve, they're bats. And you didn't believe me at first because they were so big.
I was like, that's not a bat. That's an eagle. That's an albatross.
Yeah, it was very impressive. But you just look up and there was a hole in the trees. That's not a good explanation. But yeah, you could look up in the night sky and just see hundreds of bats just flocking. It was very, very cool.
It was cool. Anyways, and that's our podcast for this week. You can always catch us on Instagram at Insightful Adventures to see photos we've posted and see where we're currently at. And we're wrapping up our time here in Australia.
Yeah, so Queensland was the very last state, and we have started our long journey back to Perth, and then we'll be flying home to the United States soon. Thanks for joining us on all of our insightful adventures.
Yeah, we'll have a few more episodes coming out, but that's kind of us wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and catch us for our next few episodes.